Gop, we are on page 138, and we're talking about the exceptions where Lashon Hara would be permitted, which is when there's constructive reasons. That's what's called toeles. So there are many. It's very complicated, and it requires a lot of chazara, a lot of asking shailas when it works, when it doesn't work. But we'll go through some of the basics to be familiar. That's not just a blanket heter. Oh, there seems to be a constructive application. Let me just speak Lashon Hara. So, an example, he says, the halacha states that if one is aware that Reuven stole or damaged from Shimon, and also knows that Reuven has not made amends for it, he is permitted to tell others about what happened to ensure that Shimon receives proper compensation. So Shimon's owed money, Reuven took advantage of him, and he's not doing anything, so if one speaks that about Reuven, that he stole, he damaged, that's going to lead to a toilet, that Reuven eventually is going to have a bad reputation, and eventually he'll give in and hopefully pay the money. So that's an example, a basic example, where there would be a toeles. Now, the Chafetz Chaim writes, he brings down seven conditions whereby all, we'll see exceptions obviously, but all seven conditions must be present in order to allow for one to speak Lashon Hara for a toeles. So again, we're not expected to remember all them, but just we'll go through them. The first one is, you have to have first-hand knowledge. If only you heard from somebody else about it, that's not first-hand knowledge. You have to have heard, seen, witnessed whatever it is that you're about to describe. It must be first-hand. That's one. Two is, it can't be a misinterpretation, which is very hard. Everything we see is always an interpretation. We could see the same thing, and four of us have a slightly different twist angle. So you have to be very careful. There has to be absolute truth, which is very, very challenging. Thirdly, a first person has to give tochacha and rebuke to Reuven before going public about the matter, speak to him privately, try to get some result that you want without going public, and maybe if you threaten him that you're going to go public with it, maybe that's going to help and avoid any Lashon Hara issues. If that doesn't work, so then you have the option to go public. Can't be exaggerated, which of course also is tricky. What does it mean to exaggerate? What's truth? But there can't be any type of exaggeration at all. And then fifth has to be the kavana for toelas. Sometimes a person speaks Lashon Hara, and why does the person speak Lashon Hara? Because there's a kishmak out of it. There's a taiva. We don't think of it as a taiva. We think of taiva for eating, taiva for other things. But we don't think of Lashon Hara as a taiva. This is a taiva. You want to get someone to feel bad, or you want to get a good chop because a friend is going to laugh at you. There's always it's a hana you get out of it. So when you speak Lashon Hara L'shem Toelas, it has to be L'shem Shemayim just for the Toelas. You have to remove all types of personal benefits you might gain from this. He says here, in the author's opinion, if the speaker has a minor degree of personal gain somewhere in his consciousness, it remains permissible to relay. How do you define that? I'm not sure. But he's pointing out, often it's hard to be like 0% like benefit, like personal gain. So, okay. But either way, it has to be pure kavana for the toelas. Sixth condition. There has to be no other alternative. This is the last resort. There's no other options. You've explored other possibilities. None work. This is the only solution. And then seventh has to be limited repercussions. He may only relate the information if the result of saying it will not be more harmful to Reuven than what would have occurred had Reuven been testified against in Bezdin. Meaning, you have to say, let's say you took him to Bezdin, you had to aid him, all the proper testimonies, whatever repercussions happen, when one speaks Lashon Hara, has to be the same or not similar to the repercussions that had been brought to Bezdin. Hard to know, hard to assess what the results will be. But these are the seven conditions, just to rattle off again, not that we'll remember it, but first-hand knowledge, no misinterpretation, first try tochacha, no exaggeration, kavana l'toeles, no alternative, last resort, and lastly, limited repercussion. So those are the seven conditions. Okay. Now he adds also here, the Chafetz Chaim writes, that the information may only be related if it's calculated that a true toilet will result. Meaning, sometimes you could say, people say, oh, it's a little toilet, we could talk Lashon Hara. Well, is it really going to be toilet? So you're trying to talk about something with positive, constructive results, but not every time, even though it might be your goal, but Lashon Hara may not assist you to get into that goal. So you have to be sure, and again, it's all hard to know, but if you know with certainty that even though you're speaking about a positive something, I don't know. Let's say we're speaking about a bachur in yeshiva. Okay, we're speaking about a bachur in yeshiva, and it's Lashon Hara about him, but we want to help the guy out. But in the end of the day, if we don't have the ability to help him out, so then we can't talk about it. Now, if the Rebbeim are talking about some Indian going on, so you know, it's in public. That's Lashon Hara. If I know something about someone a person and I share it publicly, oh, it's Latoelis to help him. But let's say we don't have the capability of helping that boy out, then I can't be sharing that information. So there has to be where the Toelis, where the speaking will lead to an actual Toelis. Now, of course, we don't know if it will, but you have to at least assume that there's a high percentage that it would lead to that, to allow for. Okay. It gives another example here of where Toelis is another example of Toelis. If you look at page 144, that if Reuven has been slandering Shimon, it's permissible for Shimon to warn people that Reuven is spreading false rumors about him. Meaning, now by him saying that, he's calling Reuven a liar. That's Lashon Hara. But he's allowed to do that because undermining what Reuven's doing. That's a Toelis. It's even permissible to point out how terrible Reuven's actions are. In this way, when Reuven comes to them with his false information, they will not believe him. In such a situation, one should not rebuke Reuven first, either, if it's assessed that rebuke will not deter him from slander. It's wasting your time. So, indeed, it might actually be counterproductive and make him want to say more things about you. So, that's another interesting example of where Lashon Hara would be permitted. Okay. Now, this is very, very common. I didn't get that far. I'm not sure if I got to what we're supposed to last week. I don't know what the amounts were. But I got the Shiloh this week. My daughter is in not this one here, but that relates to this topic. My daughter is in Sar Shneir. She's taking college online, or really on Zoom. And they have now the end of the semester to assess the professors. And some of them are from. How good? How bad? Was it boring? Was it... Now, these are from people. Is that allowed or not? She actually didn't ask the question. Her friend asked her to ask me the question. So would that be allowed or not be allowed? So he gives a similar example, not referring to a professor, but referring to a store. Let's say this person overcharges. Let's say overcharges. Are you allowed to tell them, don't shop at this store A because they overcharge? So he writes here, overcharging or deceiving his customers that it's allowed. You could tell, permitted to warn a potential customer about it. You're allowed to tell a person. Now, he says, if let's say the store owner is not overcharging whereby it's ona, it's overcharging. I mean, that store sells it for $10 and he sells it for $11. That's not ona. It's not more than a sixth, but he's still overcharging. In that case, he says, you can't tell them that he's overcharging. If they ask you, you have to tell. When it comes to shidduchim, it's very challenging. If they ask you a question, you know something, you have to tell them. You don't have to offer all the information, but if they ask a very direct question, you have to be honest with them. They want to know the honest truth. But he says, even though if they're charging ona, you'll have to tell people that. If they're not charging ona, you can't tell anyone. If they ask you, then you could tell them a little bit expensive there, that supermarket, then that supermarket. But then he writes down here, when it comes to relatives at a different level, relatives. So I could tell my relatives, my wife, my children, my siblings, my cousins that store charged a little bit more. You save a couple bucks going there. That's allowed. Firstly, it's not going to impact his business because it's only my family. Secondly, we have a certain relationship. You're taking care of your type. Then there's a whole deal on whether or not close friends are also under that tether of don't shop at that supermarket. It'll save a couple bucks and go there. So these are very important things, what you can and can't talk about. Now,
what are the rules?
Yeah. Oh, so this particular case. So the answer is the asking question. You have to be honest. You have to be honest. You can't lie. You have to be honest. Now, what does honest mean? You're allowed to have wiggle room. You could interpret how boring, how not. You know, there's no exact numbers of grading. You know, when you get grades back from professors, when they grade you, there's not unless it's math. There's no exact way. So you could use your judgment. But you're allowed to be as honest as you want. You know, they're getting paid. The college wants to do a better job. And the truth is, if you give them a good grade and they're not a good professor, maybe the next semester someone's going to come and leave the college. So you're affecting really the college also. So even though you might be affecting this person's livelihood, but you're affecting the college overall. So one is asked the question. You are allowed to, and you should be as honest as you can. Now, there's room for rachmanis also. But if you're too much rachmanis, you might be doing the college a disservice. What? Yeah.
I mean, to what extent do we do that? Meaning,
Or I had the same thing. I already filled it out. Probably should have thought of the question before. But, like, for example, I have a professor that, in honesty, I taught myself based off Google all the stuff. I didn't learn it. I personally feel I didn't learn anything from him. Should I, in that comment, say that they said for improvement, do I say more in class, or should I be more blunt about it?
I think it'd be pretty. It depends how passionate you feel. Up to you. I think it's a personal thing. It's certainly not wrong by being honest. If you don't want to tell everything, you don't have to share everything. Whatever you feel comfortable with. Okay.
Why don't you have to share everything?
You have no obligation to ruin the guy. You could say whatever you want. They didn't say every single thing you want.
Does it make a difference to be Jewish or not Jewish?
As many things are important for the sake of person not teaching people poorly and
I don't think you have to go to the accent. I mean, if they asked you the survey that I was being asked by my daughter's friend was like from 1 to 10. You know, she had to give a number of 1 to 10. Here, but to give all the examples, all the details, I don't know if you have to.
That's like an open-ended question.
Yeah, I think so. Again, it's up to how you feel. If you know.
If you feel like, did he teach you well?
Right. Yes, you have to answer. Now, if a person asks the same thing with Shidduch questions, how you have to be honest. You have to answer questions. You have to say everything that you know. You can if you want, but you can't answer the question false. So, it's tricky. These are definitely tricky things.
I mean, does it make a difference if the professor is a goy?
No, it shouldn't make a. One might have more achmanas for a frum professor, but it shouldn't make a difference if it's a goy. Then you might want to be even more honest, and if they're not good, and if they are good, you should also be honest as well for a goy. I mean, you should treat them pretty much the same way, but maybe have a little bit more achmanis for the Jew if you have a place for that.
What if it comes to Avera? Like, hypothetically, if one knows that the professor is Jewish, but he realizes that they're grading his tests on Shabbos and posting them on Shabbos, is that okay to...
That's a slightly different question. Okay. You know, what they're doing when, it's not your obligation, the school's not obligation, they hire all types of people. Not an obligation to watch over.
But maybe
it is an obligation, but it's not your
request.
You can't. I don't know if they'll listen to you. I don't know how it works in the system. If they would listen to you, then you certainly should. If they're not going to listen, you can still say it, but I don't know whether they'll listen, depending on what the administration is.
You can say it even if they're not going to listen? Doesn't that make it no longer as well?
Yeah, but probably right. I guess if you know they won't listen, you probably shouldn't say it. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's see what else here. Okay, now he has a whole piece here. I didn't go through that intensely here. But sometimes, there's an obligation to share information. Based on the Lo Samo Adam Riecha, you can't stand and watch your friend's blood be spilled. So sometimes you have to watch over people and protect people by sharing Lashon Hara to other people, like, be careful, you're doing business with this person, he's got a bad reputation, he's known to steal. See, you're helping people out in that situation. That's also very, very important when to step in.
In that case, isn't it like knowing that he has a bad reputation, is that the same as, didn't you say it's like knowing?
Yeah, the bad reputation wasn't the right way, but he had first-hand experience. I mean, if I dealt with a guy and he stole $1 million from me, so then that's first-hand information. The question how first-hand information works. I have a number of people who lent money or invest money have been stolen. Like one case recently, someone in the old shul now, they invested money significantly and then they lost. The guy never gave the money back. So I don't know. I'm just talking out loud. I was not involved, but that person who lost the money, is that considered first-hand? I don't know. I didn't hear from somebody else. I heard from the person involved who was with it. So I don't know how far you would go, and I know he had to go to speak to this person. He was able to get some of the money back. So that I don't know how firsthand that would be. I would think it's not firsthand, but I'm just wondering out loud now that we're talking about that.
You mean for the Rosh Hashiva?
Yeah,
the Rosh Hashiva heard it from
you. Right, now that I heard from that person I didn't hear back from somebody else. I heard from the person who was mamash involved. So what does firsthand mean? Does it mean only the two people who lent the money and stole the money? Is that firsthand? So I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, Now, if a person's a physical danger is there, so then it's important to let people know. Like there is actually situated public information. No need for me to share the details of it, but I certainly have every right to. I don't think you guys are in danger, but there is a person who's a rabbi up in the Five Towns. So the email's going around about this, who is doing terrible things with young girls, and they kicked him out of the shul, Baruch Hashem. And they sent him down here, somewhere in Florida. Opened up a new shul now, and there's a whole big hack about it. And they closed him down, but that's where people are potentially in danger of all types of abuse. So when there's abuse of whether it's sexual abuse, whether it's physical abuse, these are situations where lashon hara is a must. We have to save and protect people if that person is in danger. You know, in that particular this example, just sharing it with you. You know, a person who, you know, whether he was a rabbi in the past or he just a person who was involved in the shul and he was a pedophile and now he can't be around kids. So where did that person go? You know, he also wants to be inspired. He has a terrible taiva. How do you deal with such a person? So Rav Asher Weiss says, you have him davening in a nursing home. There's no kids around. That's, you know, try to find the place for the person. But Lamaisa, that's a situation where it could be dangerous on many different levels. Or if a guy, let's say...
They ask for a bunch of advice from this case?
Not this case, but other cases I've heard from in the past about these situations. This is not the first case. I mean, unfortunately, I don't want to... You know, you guys shouldn't have to know of these things, but these things are not rare. I mean, they're not common, but things come up. Things come up in the Rabbanis of all sorts of things, unfortunately. Of a whole degree of things. But you guys should know, you guys think pure, think innocent, you should be that way, you should know these things. When you get older, you find that more and more, and there's no reason for you to hear these things. Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up. But just trying to bring something something important. Now, so the examples he brings here is a person, a doctor, is medical malpractice, and it was dangerous to people, and he did messed up in surgeries, or a person's he brings an irresponsible driver. You know, don't go in the car with that guy. That guy's a crazy driver. I remember I was once in Moresh HaKolel for the summer. I needed a ride back to the Five Towns. So I guess at the time it was Jersey, I guess. So someone gave me a ride. The guy was going 150 miles per hour. I kid you not. Like, I was scared livid. Scared livid. So I would tell people, don't go in the car with a person. So I wasn't going around saying that, but like, if I heard, like, don't go with him.
Did you tell us that?
What? No, this was an individual. He was not a Moresh HaKolel. I just got a ride with a guy. He was not a Moresh HaKolel guy.
It doesn't sound like a Moko guy.
No, not a Moko guy. Just happened to be. He was a. Okay.
Rosh Hashiva probably got home pretty fast, though.
Yeah, it was great. It was a Chaya, but still, at the end of the day, they like certain trips I like. You know, for example, I'll just finish off with this. This past, I'll close it up.